Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Rosh Hashanah Daf Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 5 lines from the top of Daf Ches. We open with the topic concerning the date of Miser Behemoth, the tithe of any given year's births of animals. In the Mishnah, we saw the opinion of the Tanna Kamma, which we'll soon discover is the opinion of Rebbe Meir, that said Aleph Elul is the date, the first of the month of Elul. At that point, then, all animal births that took place up till that point since the previous Elul are tithed. Any subsequent animal births are tithed in and of themselves. In other words, you wouldn't use animal births prior to Elul to serve as a tithe for animal births that took place after Elul. There is another school of thought, and that's what we see in the Gemara here on the fifth line from the top, Rabbi Elozer, Rabbi Shimon Oimrim, Be'echod, Betishrei, the cutoff point of Meiser Behemo, or as we say, the Rosh Hashanah of Meiser Behemo, is Be'echad B'Tishrei, which the same thing as we said with Rabbi Meir's Echabela would apply to them. Echad B'Tishrei, any animal births that took place from the previous Tishrei till this point are tithed in and of themselves, and any animal births now from Tishrei on to the next Tishrei are tithed in and of themselves. So it represents a new year regarding animal tithes. Of course, when we learned this initially, we pointed out that 1/10 of any given year's animal births need to be tithed. The animal is then brought to the Beis HaMikdash in the time of the Beis HaMikdash as a sacrifice. As far as the dates are concerned, that's the topic, that's the sugya that we have to deal with. And on the side, we have our nosei, Nivne heading, the topic heading, and structural net. We combine it to one note because as we go through this omen of Gemara, you'll notice there are Roman numerals 1 and 2, and on the side we have indicated these are Shnei Drochim Lahazbir Machloikis Hatanoim Be'inyin Hatarich Lemaiser Behemo. We have two approaches in how to explain the Tanaic controversy regarding the date of the Meiser Behemo. Number one, the first approach presents it as a machlokis cholkim. The Tanoim argue eich lidroish haposuk, how to darshan the posuk that will be quoted from Tehillim Perek Samachei, lovshu korim hatzon, etc. The second approach, which you'll see halfway down the Omid, presented by Rava, is that as far as that posuk is concerned, everyone agrees how to approach it. However, Chokim Eich Lumod HaHekish Bein Meiser Dogon LeMeiser Behemo. That would be based on a posuk that we see in Dvarim Perek Yudalet Aser Te'aser, a double reference to Meiser. One is Meiser Dogon, the tithe from grains, and the other a reference to the animal tithe, where we see animal tithes are compared to grain tithes, and that will be the subject of the controversy later. Now we turn to the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Ushnehem Mikro Echodarshu, both opinions, the opinion of the Tanakam, which you said is Rabbi Meir, Aleph Elul, and the opinion of Rabbi Elozer and Rabbi Shimon, who say Aleph Tishrei, derive their opinions from the same posuk, just that each one has a different way of approaching that same posuk. Shinamar, the posuk says, Lobshu korim hatzon, vamokum yatfubar yisro af yashiru. And we're not going to give a literal translation to this posuk, but the gist of the pasuk is what is important for us. Lovshu Korim Hatson is a reference to the mating of animals. The tzon are sheep, the mating of sheep, and just you should know as general information that the gestation period of sheep is 5 months. So this pasuk describes the impregnation of sheep. V'amokim yadfu bar, this describes, bar is a word regarding grains. Amokim are the valleys. The valleys get filled with grains. So that's also a phrase to be familiar with. The time at which we have described the impregnation of tzon, of sheep, is the time of valleys being filled with their grains. Yisro af yashiru, this is a reference to a time when the grains are ready for harvest, which is in the month of Nisan. That's when the grains are developed. That information already being established, we now go on with the Tanoim. Rabbi Meir, who held Echod Be'elul, Sovar. He holds, Amosai lov shukorim hatzon. How do we approach the pasuk? When do sheep become impregnated? Bizman sha'amokim yadfu bar. When the valleys get filled with grains, when the grains are growing and are noticeable. Ve'emosai amokim yadfu bar. And when is that? When are the valleys filled with grains whose growth is noticeable? Be'ador, in the month of Ador. Nisabros be'ador v'yoldos be'av. So we know that the impregnation is in the month of Ador. They then give birth 5 months later in the month of Av. So Rosh Hashanah Shalahem, the tithing time, which is, as we said before, the cutoff point regarding births, will be Elul. In other words, the time to tithe is right after their time of birth. So if their birth is in Av, that's when they finish, so to speak, so then the tithing takes place right after their completion, right after their birth, and that is in Elul, the beginning of Elul. Rabbi Lozer of Rabbi Shimon Omrim. So now they, who said Echod B'Tishrei, they look at the same pasuk, and they say as follows, Amosai lov shukorim hatzon, when do sheep become impregnated? Bizman sheyisro'au af yoshiru. That is when the sheaves of grain rustle in the wind, creating a sense as if they are emitting noises or singing. Yoshiru is to create song. Amos shibolim oimro shira. When do sheaves of grain reach that level of development that they would rustle in the wind? Benison, a month later than the previous opinion. In other words, the previous opinion was focusing on the amokum yad fubar, the time that the valleys get filled with their grains and the growth is noticeable. This is a little bit later. It's not just the growth is noticeable, but that the sheaves would rustle in the wind. So that, being a more advanced level of development, that is in the month of Nisan. So the pasuk began with the impregnation of the sheep, and according to their approach, Rabbi Loshem Shimon, they skipped the middle phrase of the pasuk, and they then calculated the impregnation of the sheep as based on the time that the sheaves rustle, not when they simply become noticeable. So that's a little later. So when is that? Benisan. So misabros benisan. That then, now with that information, we realize that the sheep become impregnated in the month of Nisan, the yodos be'elul, and 5 months later they give birth. Rosh Hashanah shelohen Tishrei. So their tithing time and cutoff point regarding births is the beginning of Tishrei. Ve'idoch nami ha'ksiv Yisrael af yashiru. As far as Rabbi Meir is concerned, what does he do with the phrase of Yisro Af Yashiru. In his presentation, we didn't see him using that as part of his calculations or explaining it even. So what does he do with that phrase? Answer, Hahu ba'af lisa dehavyon benisan. That's a reference to the late bloomers, so to speak, the late impregnators. Rashi says, Hahu ba'af lisa yesh l'chotzon ha'ma'atifos u'mis'achros l'kabel zohar ad nisan. Avaruba me'adar havu. So these are the late sheep to become impregnated. And so we said the late, instead of the, if, like in general, they get impregnated in Adar, these are the late ones, they get impregnated in Nisan, a month later. The Idoch, Nami, Hoksiv, what about Reb Elozer and Reb Shimon with regard to the Nami Hoksiv, does it not also say Vamokum Yad Fubar? Now that phrase they did not use in their presentation. So what does that mean for them? Hahu b'charfaisa da'asyon ba'adar. That's a reference to the early ones. Charfaisa means the early ones that come forth in the month of Adar. Bishlamo the Rebbe Meir, kidichtiv, Rebbe Meir's approach is more easily understood because his approach follows the pasuk without any skipping. Kidichti means as it is written in the order of the words that appear. Lov shukorim hatzon, when is impregnation? Bizman shamokum yadfubar, and that phrase, the amokum yadfubar phrase, appears in the original pasuk right after lov shukorim hatzon. So that the pasuk is saying, when do the sheep become impregnated? When the valleys become filled with grains. The ikonami, and there are also those that are Yisro Af Yeshu, the late ones. Elo, the Reb Elozer Reb Shimon, Ivcha Miboyale, but according to Reb Elozer Reb Shimon, the opposite should have been Lov Shukar Matzon, the impregnation of sheep is when? Bisman Shi Yisro Af Yeshiru. Which this phrase of Yisrash Af Yeshu was at the end of the pasuk, but it should have been attached to Lov Shukar Matzon because the bulk of the sheep get impregnated according to their approach when the sheaves of grain are rustling. The ikonami, and there are also those the amokum yafubar, the early ones. So as a result of this difficulty, the Gemara shifts to a new approach. Elo Omar Rava. The Kule Almo, everyone will agree. Lof Shukorim Hatzon, the sheep become impregnated. Bizman Shamokum Yad Fubar Ba'ador. So there's no question about that. The Vahocha Bahai Kraw Komifligi. So that what is in total agreement? The impregnation of the sheep is at the time that the valleys become filled with grains that are noticeable. That's in the month of Adar. So what's the point of controversy? And here, Rabbi Meir versus Rabbi Elozer and Rabbi Shimon are arguing in the following pasuk: Aser to Aser. And the Gemara says that in this pasuk, Bishnei Ma'aser Sakosu Medaber, there's an allusion to two tithes: Echad Ma'aser Behemo, Echad Ma'aser Dogon. Rabbi Meir Sovar, Rabbi Meir held that Ma'aser Behemo is Echad Be'elul, Makish Ma'aser Behemo LeMa'aser Dogon. He compares Ma'aser Behemo to Ma'aser Dogon. Ma Ma'aser Dogon Samuch LeGomro Isuro. Just like Ma'aser Dogon, next to or at the time of its completion is the time for tithing. Af Ma'aser Behemo Somuch LeGomro Isuro, next to its time of completion. Now, it's born in Av, everyone agrees with that. So its completion time is Av, so right next to that, the beginning of Elul is Isur, is its time for being tithed. The Rashi explains regarding the grains, how is it that the Tishrei is the Somuch, Echad B'Tishrei happens to be the new year for grains, as we saw in the Mishnah. Rashi says, "Somach gomer hu dechol yemois hachamo manichon liabeish begronos shebesodos." That throughout the summertime, which are the months that precede Tishrei, throughout those months, the grains are left in the fields, in the granaries, in piles, in order to dry out. When you eventually grind them into flour, so they need to be dried out. And that drying out is completed by Tishrei, which is the end of the summer months. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, who held Echad B'Tishrei, Savri, notice with our markings, we compare where there is similarity. We like to point out the symmetry in the sukkis. So they also Savri, Makish, Meiser Behema, Le Meiser Dogon. Let's compare Meiser Behema to Meiser Dogon, but in a different aspect. Ma Meiser Dogon, Rosh Hashanah Shelo Tishrei. They don't look at the attributes or the characteristics. They simply look at the date. Just like Meiser Dogon, it's year change, its new year is on the first of Tishrei. Af Meiser Behema, Rosh Hashanah Shelo Tishrei, so too Meiser Behema, its new year, so to speak, is from Tishrei. Be'echad B'Tishrei Rosh Hashanah L'Shanim. Also a quote from the Mishnah at the beginning of the Masichta. And it is true that we made allusions to this in the first sugya of the Masichta, but here the Gemara looks at it on its own. Not just as a quote in a sugya discussion, but here the focus of the discussion is on this phrase. Lamai Hilchasa, when you say that the first of Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah Lashonim, with regard to what? Omar of Papa, Lashtaros. Before we go further, we should note the structure. On the side, we have a Noseh Mivneh heading. The house that you see here represents a series of Pirushim, Lahod de Katoni. These are explanations regarding that which it says, the Echad Tishrei, have a Rosh Hashanah Lashonim. So what does Rav Papa say? Lashtaros. This has to do with the dating of documents. When we date documents, we date it in terms of which year of a particular king's reign was the shtar written in. And it's important to have a fixed time when the calendar year flips over to a new year to establish what year of the realm the king is reigning in order to have a standard form of document dating, in order to be able to establish whether a shtar is predated, which would render it unfit in the case of loan documents, and when is a shtar post-dated, which is still kosher. And we explain this at length way back at the opening of the Masichta, so we're not going to re-explain all that. Anyone who didn't hear our shir on Daf Beis should by all means listen to it there. So the Gemara says, it's regarding shtoros desnan, shtorei chov ha-mukdomim psulim. Mukdomim, from the word kodam, or kedem, means an early, predated shtar. So if you have a loan document that indicates a loan took place prior to the time that it actually took place, that document is unfit. Vamu'uchorem, a post-dated document where a loan actually took place, the person's property becomes creditor gains a lien on his property, and yet the shtar is post-dated, that kind of document is kosher. It's not causing a loss to any outside purchasers. The Gemara asks, how can you say that Echad B'Tishrei is the date establishing when a king's realm enters a new year? V'hotnan, have we not learned be'echod b'nisan Rosh Hashanah Molochim, that the first of Nisan is the new year regarding kings? V'amrinon l'may hilchasa, and we asked when we learned that, what halachic significance does that have? V'omar avchisto l'shtoros. So shtoros, the document dating is based on the first of Nisan, not the first of Tishrei. Now, you can see we underline the shtoros here in a few lines up so that you can see the heart of the question. Rav Papa said that shtoros is based on Echad B'Tishrei, and here we see in the same Mishnah, a different part of the same Mishnah, saying that shtar document dating is based on Echad B'Nisan. The Gemara says lo kashya. There is no contradiction here. Kan l'malchi Yisrael, kan l'malchi umos ha'olam. Echad B'Nisan is a dating of a new year when you're dealing with Jewish kings or kings of in the land of Israel. Echad B'Tishrei is based on monarchs that reign in lands outside of Israel. Question: Elaha di Omar Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda, of course, I'm sure you all know, was an Amora. So he says, Lo Shanu Elo Lamalchi Yisrael, the date of Aleph Nisan, as being called Rosh Hashanah Lamalachim, that applies only to kings of Israel. Aval Lamalchi Umois Ha'olam Mitishrei Moninan. Rav Chisda seems to be telling us this information, that the Gentile kings are, their reign enters a new year when the first of Tishrei rolls around. So we ask, Rav Chisda Masnisen Asol Ashminen, is Rav Chisda coming to tell us information that is contained in the Mishnah? After all, Rav Chisda himself explained that the Mishnah, when it says Echad B'Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah L'Shanim, he said that that meant Echad B'Tishrei. That meant dating based on Gentile kings. So as far as Rav Chisda himself is concerned, that is information in the Mishnah. So what do I need Rav Chisda on his own to make that distinction when that's what the Mishnah says? So the Gemara answers. Number one. Lo, Rav Chisda kroy also lashminen. Rav Chisda, in saying that Echad B'Nisan is for Jewish kings and Echad B'Tishrei is for Gentile kings, he was explaining psukim at the beginning of Sefer Yirmiyah. In the book of Yirmiyahu, the opening, you see, and this is something we learned also at the beginning of our Masechta. This was back on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, where we opened up the book of Yirmiyahu, and we saw a reference to a Persian monarch, and there was reference to his the year of his reign, and then we saw a number of months later, the same year was his. It was still the same year, even though we had reached Nisan in those psukim, and there was no change of year. So, with Rav Chisda's information, we can appreciate the pasuk. Why was there no change of year? Because Nisan had arrived. So the reason for that is because we were dealing with a Persian with a non-Jewish monarch, and as such, the reign of a non-Jewish monarch changes only once you reach the month of Tishrei. So Rav Chisda wasn't coming to tell us information that the Mishnah revealed. He was coming to explain psukim in Sefer Yirmiyahu. The Iboy Asema, another approach to resolving Rav Chisda's revealing what the Mishnah already seems to teach, is simply that Rav Chisda kerebi zera masni lo. Rav Chisda learns the Mishnah that says Echad B'Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah L'Shanim, like Rabbi Zera learns the Mishnah. And here we have a house number two, because this represents a second approach to understanding the Mishnah that said Echad B'Tishrei Rosh Hashanah L'Shanim. To Rabbi Zera Omar litkufa. V'Rebbe Eliezer he diomar b'tishrei nivra ha'olam. This is an allusion to a sugya that will be featured in a couple of dapim from now, where there's a machlokas Rebbe Eliezer and Rebbe Yoshua. Rebbe Eliezer holds that the world was created in the month of Tishrei, and as a result, the different seasons, which are determined by, we'll call it the celestial movements of stars and the sun. When we speak about seasons, we especially refer to the sun, that progression or that cycle, the seasonal cycle, started with the creation of the world, which was in Tishrei. And that information is very important in establishing the Jewish calendar, etc. So the Mishnah tells us that Aleph Tishrei Rosh Hashanah Lishonim is basically saying that the seasons and the celestial movements started in Tishrei, because that's when the world was created. And we pointed out that particular piece of information, it actually is a Tanaic controversy, and hence Rabbi Zera is interpreting our Mishnah along the lines of the Tana Rabbi Eliezer that said, "B'Tishrei Nivra Olam," that in Tishrei the world was created. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok Omar, a third approach to what does it mean that what does Rosh Hashanah Lashonim mean? Ledin, for judgment. That the actions and behavior of the world's inhabitants are judged annually, and that is on Aleph Tishrei. So that there's a re-judgment, or a new judgment every Tishrei of one's behavior from the last Tishrei till this point. Dichtiv, the pasuk says, Meireshis Hashana V'ad Achris Shana. And what does that mean? Meireshis Hashana Nidon Ma Yehei Basofa. From the beginning of the year, we are judged as to what will be at the end. So that the Aleph Tishrei represents the beginning of judgment, meaning all of our behavior, starting from a given Tishrei till next Tishrei, when judgment will be rendered. That's what we mean by the Rosh Hashanah Lishonim. The Gemara asks, when you look at this pasuk of Meireshis Hashanah Varach Rishonah, you don't see Tishrei in there. So Mimai de Tishrei Hu? How do you know that pasuk is a reference to Din, to judgment? So the Gemara answers, how do you know that Reishis Hashanah Arach Rishonah, Reishis Hashanah is a reference to Tishrei? Dichtiv, there's another pasuk in Tehillim which says, Tiku b'chodesh shofar b'kese liyom chagenu. It's important to note that the continuation of this pasuk is found at the top of Omid Beis, where it says, Ki choik liYisrael hu mishpat leilokei yankiv. And the pasuk makes reference to mishpat, judgment, where the Almighty is in judgment. That's the pasuk we're dealing with right now. So what does it say in this pasuk? It says, Tiku b'chodesh shofar. There is a reference to the blowing of the shofar. And b'chodesh is a reference to a particular month. B'kese liyom chagenu. Ezehu chag, because chagenu means our holiday. Ezehu chag shehachodesh miskase boi. There are different pshatim in the Meforshim what this phrase means, but we're going to use the Rashi pshat. So which holiday comes out at the time that the new month, which is ushered in by the moon, but it's miskasebo, the moon is covered, it's not visible. Well, when is a moon not visible? A moon is not visible at the beginning of the lunar cycle, and that's a 29.5 day event. So, the beginning of the lunar cycle we call Rosh Chodesh. So, which month has a holiday coming out at the time that the moon can't be seen, that we would call Rosh Chodesh? Hevei Omer Zeh Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is a holiday that we observe at the beginning of a month. and it's the only holiday that comes out at the beginning of a month. So we know that we're dealing with what we call in common parlance Rosh Hashanah, the first of Tishrei. And Rosh Hashanah is a holiday. Uksiv, and regarding that holiday, it says, Ki choyk l'Yisrael hu mishpat l'elokei yankiv, that is a time when judgment takes place. Tanu Rabbanan. Now, a little more on this topic. Ki choyk l'Yisrael hu mishpat l'elokei yankiv. Melame, this teaches us. She'ein bezdin shelmalo nichnosim ledin, Elohim Kain Kitshu Bezdin Shelmata Es HaChodesh. The heavenly court does not sit in judgment until the new month is established by the Jewish court. The Bezdin Shelmata means the earthly court, the court that sat in the Lishkas HaGozis of the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, and they are responsible for establishing the new month. So when does judgment set in? When the court establishes the new month of Tishrei. And Rashi says, three lines from the top, V'hochi ko'amar, Im kovu Yisrael es chok ha-chodesh, if the Jews establish the rule of the new month, Yehei mishpat la-kodesh baruch hu, so then there will be judgment rendered on the part or by the Almighty. Tanya Idoch, we have another pasuk, another source, darshaning the same pasuk, Ki choyk l'Yisrael hu, ein li elo l'Yisrael. When I look at this pasuk, I see that only the Jews are in judgment. L'umos ha'olam minayin, where do I see that the nations of the world are also judged at that time? Tamad lomar mishpat l'elokei yankiv. It's the time when the Almighty sits in judgment. So Im Kain, if the whole world is judged from based on this pasuk Mishpat LeLokeinu, Ma Tamalomer Ki Choyk LeYisrael. So what's the significance of isolating or specifying the Jewish people? Once you tell me that the Almighty sits in judgment over the whole world, so the Jews are included. Answer: Malamet Yisrael Nichnosim Tchilo LeDin. What this shows us is that the Jews enter judgment first. The Mishnayos describe, and we actually capture this in the holiday liturgy as well, that people are judged one by one, so to speak. So they're standing on line to be judged, if you will, and if you want to use some imagery. So who's the first one on line? The Jewish people. Kedar Rav Chisda. Based on his explanation, the Yomar Rav Chisda, Melech v'tzibur, Melech nichnas t'chila ledin. If you have a king and his subjects being judged, the king enters the court first. Shinemar mishpat avdoi u'mishpat amoi. In this posuk in Sefer Melachim, when it says avdo, the judgment of his servant, that's a reference to Shlomo HaMelech. So the king is referred to first and then his subjects. And keeping that parallel, first the Jewish people, they're parallel to the king, and the rest of the world are parallel to his subjects. My time, why is that the order? So two answers. Iboy esem olavu racharo lemeka malkev roi. First approach is that it's not a racharo, derech eretz, a proper etiquette for a king to be waiting outside. We don't want to keep a king waiting, so that's why the king is given primacy. Mekami de lefush charon af. Lefush means increase. Charon af means wrath. So that when a judge is sitting in judgment and he sees guilty parties appearing in front of him one after the other, finding this one guilty and the next one guilty, etc., because of, in this case, the accumulation of sins, so the judge can become wrathful, full of wrath. So before that builds up, we want to give the advantage, so to speak, to the king, and then later his subjects. Likewise here, let the Jews be judged before the wrath of the Almighty builds up upon seeing the world's sins and aberrations. Of course, when we speak in these terms, you realize that we're presenting things in a way for a human being to appreciate things, because after all, we are talking about the Almighty, who is all-knowing, all-powerful, etc. But in order to make it understood, to make us more wary of what's going on and more sensitive, so things are presented in this way. Ulishmitin minolon. From where do we know that the Shemitah year, the sabbatical year, is sanctified from Rosh Hashanah, signaling the time that agricultural activity must cease? So from where do we know that that happens at Echad B'Tishrei? Dichtiv, U'b'shono ha-shvi'is Shabbos Shabboson Yer La'aretz. That's the pasuk that describes the seventh year as being a year of ceasing from land activity. The Gomar Shona Shona Mitishrei, and a word comparison, Gzeirah Shava, is learned from another pasuk where Tishrei is referred to, and this pasuk, which refers to the Shemitah. Dichtiv, the Tishrei pasuk is that which we saw just before, Meireishis Hashana. The Gemara asks, the Ligmor Shana Shana Mi Nisan, Dichtiv Rishoin Hu Lochem Lochodshe Hashana. If you're concluding things based on a Shana Shana Gzerah Shava, why was a Gzerah Shava not made from this pasuk of Rishon Lechem Lechodshe Hashana? You see the word Shana here, and this is a reference to Nisan. The first month of the year is Nisan. So why not learn from here? And that, of course, would mean that the sabbatical year is ushered in from the month of Nisan. The Gemara answers, Donin Shana She'eni Mochadosh, and we learn the rules of Shemitah, we could say simply the Shemitah Pasuk, in which there was no reference to months. If you go back five lines, you see Ubashona Shvi'is Shabbos Shabboso and Yer La'aretz, the word Chodesh didn't appear in that Pasuk. So I'm going to learn a monthless Shana Mishona She'eni Mochadosh from another Pasuk where you have a monthless Shana, no reference to months, to Chodoshim, and that was the Pasuk of Meireishis Hashana, which was Aleph Tishrei. The Ein Don in Shana She'eni Mochadoshim, I'm not going to learn the Shemitah Pasuk, which is where a year appears without months, Mishana She'eshi Mochadoshim, from another Pasuk, from the Aleph Nisan Pasuk, where a Shana was mentioned, but together with months. The Pasuk had said four lines ago, L'chodshe Hashana. Ulyovlos. The topic we're about to discuss now, and you can see on the side, Hodikotoni Demoinin Yovlos Me'echod Tishrei, that which we say that the Yovel year is counted from the first of Tishrei, Hainu Alibo de Rabbi Shmuel Benoshu Rabbi Yochum Broka. We will see that this is in fact a Tanaic controversy, and it's based on the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yochanan Broka. Now before we go into the Gemara itself, it's worth exposing ourselves to some psukim, and you'll find the psukim in Vayikra Perek Chof Hei. And what I'd like to do is read together with you the psukim that we've included on the side of the Gemara. Psukim Ches through Yud. In Vayikra Perichov Hei. V'sofarta l'cha sheva shabsa ishanim sheva shanim sheva pomim. There'll be a counting of 7 units of 7 years. Well, 7 times 7 is 49. V'hoyu l'cha yemei sheva shabsis ha-shonim teisha v'yarboim shana. And the Pasuk is kind enough to add that up for us, that that unit of time of the 7 times 7 is 49 years. And then Vavarta Shofar Trua Bachidish Hashvi Beesr Lachidish Biyom HaKippurim Taviru Shofar B'chol Artzachem. So now after the 49 years, there's going to be a blowing of the shofar on the 10th of that month. And that is on Yom Kippur. V'kidashtem eshnas hachamishim shana u'krosem dror ba'aretz l'chol yoshvel. And then you'll sanctify that year and proclaim it dror, freedom of all slaves. All Jewish slaves are free to go back home. Yovel hi tialochem, it's the Jubilee year. V'shavtem ish el achuzosav ish el mishpachta toshuvu. And people will return to their lands. There's a return of lands to original owners. That all purchased fields in the course of those 50 years are then returned. People who purchase other people's property, they do so with the understanding that when the Yovel year arrives, unless you're an heir to the property, it's going to be returned to the original owner. Now we turn to our Gemara. The Gemara asks, you're telling me that Aleph Tishrei is the beginning of the Yovel year, but Yovlos be'echod b'tishrei hu, Yovlos be'asora b'tishrei hu. Well, how can you say that the Yovel is at the beginning of Tishrei, at the first day of Tishrei, when we know that the Yovel is from the 10th of Tishrei, Dechtiv? It says, right there in the Psukim we just read, regarding Yovel, it says, B'yom HaKippurim Taviru Shofar, that on Yom Kippur, you will sound the shofar, ushering in the Yovel year. The Gemara answers, Ha-Moni, our Mishnah that says Yovel is counted 10 days earlier from the first of Tishrei, Rabbi Shmuel ben Osh, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, he. It's in accordance with this Tana, Rabbi Shmuel. Desanya. Now we have a Brisa, Tanaic source, in which Rabbi Shmuel and his approach to Yovel is explained. V'kidashtem es shnas hachamishim shana. This pasuk we saw, pasuk ches, ma tamud lomar. What does this pasuk tell us? There's a comment in Rashi. Ma Talmud Lomar. We're looking at Rashi about in the upper part of the narrow lines. V'kidashim v'shnas chamishim ma Talmud Lomar. Mekevon she'omar sheva shabs shonim v'avarta shofar trua b'chodesh hashvi'i. Once we were told 7 units of 7 years, and we were told there's a shofar blowing, and the shofar blowing in the seventh month, Yodehani Shihi Shnas Hachamishim. I realize that's the 50th year, whereas we finished 7 groups of 7 years, we completed them, and then following that, there's a shofar blast in the seventh month, which is the month of Tishrei. So what do I have to, why does the Torah have to tell me that you then sanctify the 50th year? I know it's the 50th year. So the answer is, Lafi Shinemar B'Yom HaKippurim, since the Pasuk cited Yom Kippur, it said the 10th day of the 7th month. Now I know that the 7th month is Tishrei, so, and I know that the 10th day of Tishrei is Yom Kippur. Yachol lo tehe miskadeshes elo miyom hakipurim v'eleth. Should I then understand that the sanctification of it, the establishment of it as a jubilee year, as a yovel year, is only from Yom Kippur onwards? Talmud loymar. Therefore, I have this what was seemingly extra pasuk, v'kidashtem es shnas hachamishim. That pasuk is malami, teaches us shemiskadeshes v'hoileches. That from the very beginning, not the 10th day of the month, but from the very beginning of the year, 10 days earlier, it becomes sanctified. From here, Rabbi Shmuel concludes, Merosh Hashana ad Yom Kippurim lo hoyu avodim niftorim lebateim, v'lo mishtadim ladoneihem. The Jewish servants, they don't go home to their original families, but they also do not serve in a servile capacity. Elo oichlin v'shoysin u'smechim v'atruseim b'roshehem. They eat and drink and rejoice with their crowns on their heads. In other words, if they want to place some type of head decoration to show that they've now gone free, they can do so. Kevan shigir Yom Kippurim, then when Yom Kippur arrives, 10 days later, toku Beis Din b'shofar. The Beis Din will blow the shofar. Nifturu avodim lebateim v'sodos chozus lebaleim. Then the servants go back to their families, and fields are returned to their original owners. V'rabbonon, the Rabbonon, what do they learn from V'kidashtem Eshnas HaChamishim? After all, according to the Rabbonon, there is no significance to Yovel from Aleph Tishrei. For them, the beginning of Yovel is from Yom Kippur of the 50th year. So what do they do with the Pasuk of V'kidashtem Eshnas HaChamishim? They learn something else. Shonim atom mekadesh v'atom mekadesh chadoshim. Months when they're years when they're ushered in, so they are mekadesh. You proclaim them, you sanctify them as a new year. However, when months are ushered in, there is no need for the courts to announce that the month has been sanctified. That's V'ato Mekadesh Chadoshim. There's no sanctification on the part of the courts. Rashi says that Shonim Ato Mekadesh Kishishnas Yovel Nichnisa, when the 50th year enters, Mitzvah Al Beis Din Lomar Mekudeshes Hashona. It's an obligation on the part of Beis Din to announce that this year is sanctified. V'ato Mekadesh Shum Chodesh. Then Rashi points out, this is in accordance with the Tana Reb Elazar Shimon that says, Bein Shinira Bizmanu, Bein Shalonira Bizmanu, whether the new moon, the new lunar phase is seen on time or it's not seen on time, meaning whether it's seen on the day following day 29, which we call day 30, or it wasn't seen, Ein Mekachin Oso. There's no proclamation of it being sanctified as a new month. V'yolif Taima Mehocha, that particular opinion, that is of Reb Elazar Shimon, learns his point of view from here. From this pasuk, V'kidashtem Eshnas HaChamishim, formal court announcements of Mekudosh are appropriate only for ushering in a jubilee year, a yovel year, not for months. We continue. Tanyo Idoch. Yovel hi, ma Talmud lomar. This expression we saw in the psukim that we read before concerning the Yovel. In Pasuk Yud you see this expression. What does it teach me? Lefi shenemar v'kidashtem Eshnas HaChamishim. Well, since the Pasuk says that, Yochel kishem shemiskadeshes v'hoileches mitchilasa, Kach miskadeshes v'hoileches b'soifa. Just as it is sanctified from miskadeshes v'hoileches mitchos, means from the beginning, so too at the end, which would mean as follows. Just like we saw from Rosh Hashanah till Yom Kippur, certainly according to the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel ben Oshir, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, we saw there was a type of sanctification build-up from Aleph Tishrei till Yom Kippur. So at the beginning there was this, additional sanctity that took place. Should we say the same thing at the end, which would mean that from Rosh Hashanah till Yom Kippur of the following year, there is also some manifestation of sanctity, v'al titameh, and don't be amazed at this idea of having added sanctity at the end. Sharei moisifin mechoil al hakodesh. We know of this concept of adding, drawing from that which is common and adding from it to that which is sanctified. For many of you, you might be familiar with the idea of at the end of Shabbos, we extend the Shabbos, so to speak, into the night, into darkness, after Shabbos is at the point that Shabbos concludes. We add to that time. So too, maybe at the end of the Yovel year, which was a year of a sanctified year, we should add into the following year a certain amount of time. Talmud Lomar, Yovel hi Shnas Hachamishim. So that's what you can see in the Psukim. We were slightly inaccurate before. We should have mentioned that this Yovel Hi citation was from the beginning of Posuk Yud Aleph, where you see also the expression Yovel Hi. It says Yovel Hi Shnas HaChamishim. And from this we learn Shnas HaChamishim Ato Makdish V'i Ato Makdish Shnas HaChamishim V'achas. That only the 50th year is sanctified and not the 51st year, meaning it's not the next year as well. The Gemara continues, V'Rabbonan. Now, the Rabbonan who didn't learn to begin with that there was any sanctity at the beginning of the Yovel year. So, they didn't have a build-up at the beginning that I should have had, say, grounds for thinking that there would be added Kedusha at the end. So since the idea never got off the ground, so the question then is, what do they do with this Pasuk of Yovel Hi? Because this was in accordance with the Tana Rebbe Yishmael. So the Gemara answers, we're at the top of Tesomer Aleph, V'Rabbonon, Shnas Chamishim Ato Moine, V'yata Moine Shnas Chamishim V'achas. This pasuk that said, Yovel Hi Shnas HaChamishim, is telling me the following, that you count the Yovel year as year 50, and you don't count it as the beginning of the new cycle as well. Now, that approach is to the exclusion of another approach you find in Tanoim, the approach of Rebbe Yehuda that says when you're counting called Jubilee cycle of events, the Tana Rebbe Yehuda says you count years up till year 50, and then that same year 50, you count also as year number 1 toward the next Jubilee. So that, as far as Rebbe Yehuda is concerned, the 1 year is counted not only as 50, but it's also counted as year 1 in the next cycle. So that, in effect, you really have a 49-year cycle when it comes to the Yovel. Because the same year as that you're counting as 50, you're also counting as year 1. So the Rabbanon learned this pasuk of Yovel Hi Shnas HaChamishim to tell me that you count the Yovel year, the year that you're counting as 50, as year 50, and not as year 50 plus year 1 as well. La fuke mid Rebbe Yehuda, the Gemara says, to the exclusion of the Tana Rebbe Yehuda, diomar shnas chamishim oile lekan ulekan, that the 50th year counts for this and for that. Komash malon delo, the posuk comes to tell me that not so. That's how the Rabbonon interpret this topic. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.